Jai Jai Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Radha Madhava Sunya Vihari Gopi Dana Vallava Giri Varadha Alava Girivaradari Opidana Vallava Girivaradari Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Chiravana Shari Jamuna Chiravana Shari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Nirmana moha jita sangha dosha. Nirmana moha jita sangha dosha. Adhyatma nitya vinivritta kama. Adhyatma vidyam vinivritta kama. Dvandve vimukta sukha dukkha sangya. Dvandve vimukta sukha dukkha sangya. Gacchantya muda padamavyayam tad.
Before reading the translation, I would like to give you an idea of the context in which this verse takes place. It's frame, so to say, it's a contextual frame. The 15th chapter explains that the material world is like an imperishable banyan tree. It is a tree in which the living entity has become entangled. The material world holds us in bondage, and although we may try to become liberated from it, we are captured, we are imprisoned. The Bhagavad Gita in this chapter offers us a possibility to become free from this world, to cut the tree down, so to say, and surrender to that Supreme Personality of Godhead from whom everything began. And how to become free is really expressed in text 5. And we hear what qualities we have to develop in order to reach this freedom. And it is, now I can read the translation to you. You know, these are the qualities which you have to develop as you are evolving in your Krishna consciousness. Those who are free from false prestige, illusion and false association, who understand the eternal, who are done with material lust, who are freed from the dualities of happiness and distress, and who unbewildered know how to surrender unto the Supreme Person, attain to that eternal kingdom. Purport. The surrendering process is described here very nicely. The first qualification is that one should not be deluded by pride. Because the conditioned soul is so puffed up, thinking himself the lord of material nature, it is very difficult for him to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should know by the cultivation of real knowledge that he is not the lord of material nature. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the lord. When one is free from delusion caused by pride, he can begin the process of surrender. For one who is always expecting some honor in this material world, it is not possible to surrender to the Supreme Person. Pride is due to illusion, for although one comes here, stays for a brief time, and then goes away, he has the false idea that he is the Lord of the world. He thus makes all things so complicated, and he is always in trouble. The whole world moves under this impression. People are considering the land, this earth, to belong to human society, and they have divided the land under the false impression that they are the proprietors. One has to get out of this false notion that human society is the proprietor of this world. When one is freed from such a false notion, he becomes free from all the false associations caused by familial, social, and national affections. These faulty associations bind one to this material world. After this stage, one has to develop spiritual knowledge. One has to cultivate knowledge of what is actually his own and what is actually not his own. And when one has an understanding of things as they are, he becomes free from all dual conceptions such as happiness and distress, pleasure and pain. You have to know what is yours and what is not yours. He becomes full in knowledge. Then it is possible for him to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Aminiti Namine Namaste Narasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Sadarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Those who are free from false prestige, illusion, and false association, who understand the eternal, who are done with material lust, who are freed from the dualities of happiness and distress, and who unbewildered know how to surrender unto the Supreme Person, attain to that eternal kingdom. It is sometimes not easy to remember all these qualities from which we have to become free. And to make it therefore a little bit simpler, the the Vedic tradition tells us in one word what we have to become free of. It's avidya, or ignorance, which is sometimes described to be a darkness which is covering the eternal soul. This inner darkness has to be dispelled by the light of Krishna consciousness. And then, when this darkness of ignorance is destroyed, one is illumined by knowledge how to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus go to the kingdom of God. This avidya, or ignorance, which covers the eternal soul, gives false to asmita, gives way to asmita, or false ego, false identification. The ignorance which we are speaking about is really an ignorance of what is true and what is not true. In this world, we usually identify with an untruth. That is, we identify with the body and with the mind. And as a result of this avidya, or this ignorance and false ego, we suffer from this internal darkness. Srila Madhvacharya has told us a little bit what happens in the consciousness when you are covered with this eternal darkness. Well, one thing is you identify with the body, and as a result to this identification, you suffer from constant drowsiness. Drowsiness. Drowsy, drowsy, drowsy. Drowsy means Trägheit, huh? In German. And you are overcome with unquenchable sexual desires. Sebastian, wir haben heute intensiv an dich gedacht, mal wieder. Hare Krishna. Thank you for coming. Bodily identification, where the soul just totally thinks I'm the body, will make you tired. It will bring about so many desires that that all your mental peace and all your serenity is burned to ashes. I see another guest. Ich sehe noch einen weiteren Gast. Bist du der englischen Sprache kundig? Wenn nicht, wir haben da eine tolle deutsche Übersetzung. Passt schon, gut. So, when you identify with the mind, with your thinking processes, you will suffer panic, inner panic, fear, anxieties, and ultimately hankering that end in disappointment. When you think you are the mind, panic, say welcome to panic, fear, and hankerings. Now, some people do not like to identify with the body and the mind, but they very much identified with their intelligence. But when they think something should be like this and not like that, because it's so logic that it is like this, every intelligent man knows that it is like this, after some time they will suffer from existential bitterness and frustration because the world doesn't see it through their glasses, through the glasses of their own intelligence. Now, if you identify with the false ego from which you have to become free here, then after some time when you think of yourself with a wrong conception, you will suffer it's very interesting, from an inferiority complex. You will think, I am so low. Prabhupada used to say to one devotee who said to him, Prabhupada, I'm the lowest. Prabhupada said, you're not the lowest. He said, I'm the most fallen. Prabhupada said, you are not the most of anything. That's false ego. this is what Madhvacharya has to say about mana and moha, false prestige and illusion, which is really the idea of this false identification. Huh? It leads to material desires which rob all your mental peers. It brings you to suffer panic, fear, and hankerings, which ultimately end in disappointment, and at the end you suffer existential bitterness and frustration. Therefore, the scriptures always tell us that if we want to advance, we really have to cut this false identification with the body and the mind. We have to eliminate this inner darkness which brings us to this wrong identification. In the scriptures we find one great example of someone who wanted to become free from this inner darkness. It is Gajendra. And I will now make a very subtle point. Most probably you will have to listen extremely attentively to catch it. Gajendra was attacked by a life-threatening danger. You remember he went to take his bath in a lake, and inside that lake lived a dangerous crocodile who attacked him and pulled him into the water to go for the kill, you say. He wanted to... Crocodiles drag you into the water where you can't fight any longer, and then when they have you off the ground, when you are no longer touching the ground, they... In American English, you say they go for the kill. They just kill you cruelly. They're very cruel animals. And so, Gajendra feared for his very life. He was actually previously the great king Indradyumna, and as he was shocked out of his illusion of, as he was attacked and so much shocked, his whole personality was shaking in fear, And he somewhat woke up, you know, to, from his identification with the from the elephant consciousness. And he then prayed to Krishna. He said, Jiji vishe naham iha muyakim antarbahis chavritaye pyayonya ichami kalena nayasya viplavas tasyatma loka varanasya moksham. He said, I do not wish to live anymore after I am released from the attack of the crocodile. He said, I don't care about my saivati. What is the use of an elephant's body covered externally and internally by ignorance? I simply desire eternal liberation from the covering of ignorance. That covering is not even destroyed by the influence of time. And, you know, it's very significant. I really want to request you to look at this verse. Here, two types of ignorance are described. An external ignorance and an internal ignorance. This external ignorance is one thing, but the internal ignorance is that darkness of the heart, which covers the heart and which brings you to wrong identification. Gajendra had prayed that he is saved from this crocodile, but when he surrendered to Krishna, he thought, I don't care to be saved from the crocodile, because if I'm saved, when my life is saved, but I still have this internal darkness, what is the use if I remain so covered by ignorance? A safe life is not the highest goal for me any longer. I need to become enlightened in the heart. If I'm not enlightened, it's better I die. See, as long as you have this internal ignorance, this ignorance covering the heart, samsara continues. The cycle of birth and death will persist. People have been very successful to destroy outer darkness by electricity and so on. But the internal darkness, they have not done very well with. How good are you in removing your inner darkness, your avidya, which is covering the soul? How much do you know who you are in as an eternal servant of Krishna? How often are you free from the darkness during the day and are really fully aware of Krishna? Only then, when this tamas, of avidya has gone, will you be safe in Krishna consciousness. As long as it persists, samsara will persist. My dear devotees, it's stressed here in this fifth verse that to become free from this inner darkness, this false prestige, illusion, and so many material desires, is possible only if you know how to surrender to Krishna. There's only one person who is able to destroy this inner darkness. It's God. This has been expressed in the Bhagavad Gita very nicely, where Krishna says, Te sham vivanu kampatam aham agyana jyantamaham tamaham nashayam yatma bhavosto yanadipena bhashvata. To show them special mercy, I, who am dwelling in their hearts, destroy with a shining lamp of knowledge, the torchlight of knowledge, the darkness born out of ignorance. I Anukampa atam, to show special mercy. Anukampa means special mercy. There are different types of mercy. There is prasad, that is the deserved mercy. There is kripa, which is the king of Krishna Shakti. And there is anukampa, mercy, which is a very specific, very special. And this very specific, very special laser mercy, if you so want, is destroying this tamasa, this inner darkness which surrounds your heart and which is born out of ignorance and false prestige and, you know, and false ego and all these things, you know. For this you have to turn to Krishna and take full shelter or ashraya in Krishna. This inner darkness, in other words, can be destroyed only by God. Now, the word anukampa has been used. Special mercy. How does this mercy of Krishna look like, which destroys the inner darkness? Which is so persistent. Mind you again, before you think, death is better than a life of darkness, says Gajendra. This inner darkness is so strong that not even Kala, that is the all-powerful time who governs even death, can destroy it. Krishna can destroy this darkness, but by his special mercy. But what is this anukampa? What is this special mercy? Listen very carefully now. This special mercy is Krishna in a very, very particular form which comes into your heart. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in one song about this special form about Krishna which can destroy the inner darkness of the heart. He compares the special form of Krishna with a spiritual sun. You know, the normal sun can destroy outer darkness, but this spiritual sun can destroy the inner darkness, and that is the holy name, Hare Krishna. The holy name is more powerful than the material sun, because while the material sun can destroy only the outer darkness, it is only the holy Krishna in his holy name who can destroy the inner darkness within the heart. The holy name arises a little bit on the horizon of the heart, says Bhaktivinoda Thakur. At that time, already auspiciousness arises. The auspiciousness means that you become inclined to serve Krishna. It means your mati is born, your inclination is born to surrender to Krishna. This is born because when you start chanting, you will start to meet devotees. The holy name arranges that. When you chant in sincerity, the holy name will arrange that you meet two types of Bhagavatas, the book Bhagavata and the personalities who live this book, the sadhus, and you will then become enlightened through these two types of Bhagavatas in your heart. This is a very important point. It cannot be stressed enough. You can do so much tapasya. You can try to destroy this inner darkness by austerities, by going to sacred places of pilgrimages. You can read the scriptures and know them in and out, but the inner darkness is in this, especially in the age of Kali, can only be destroyed by Krishna in his form of the holy name. Now, Prabhupada used to say something. He very interesting. He said, "I have not come to teach you anything, but I have come only to request you to please chant the name of God. Please chant this Hare Krishna mantra. Be cleansed in your consciousness and understand your spiritual identity. That's all. I have not brought anything else than that." This is Prabhupada. I've not come to teach you, but only one request, one thing. Start to chant and be cleansed in your consciousness. This means that the inner darkness should go, and then you will understand who you are. You will become free of illusions and ignorance and so on. I found this very, very interesting, and I would like to read to you a little bit from this, from the purport. From the verse again, and then would like to talk a little bit about the use this verse. Gajendra, who was just a moment before he was shocked and understood how he was. Oh my God, where's my English? He just prayed to be saved. Krishna, save me. I'm attacked by this ignorance, by this crocodile who kills me. Krishna, please. But then he understood that I don't want to live any longer. Because if I'm saved, but I keep on with this internal darkness of ignorance, it's worse than death. I simply now desire the liberation from the covering of ignorance for good. He says eternal liberation. I just want to be liberated for good from this. This is his prayer. This is his prayer, my dear devotees. There is no need to live as an elephant or a man, says Prabhupada, American or Indian. One should desire only to achieve liberation from the cycle of birth and death. Because of ignorance, we consider every life offered by nature to be happy and pleasing. But in the degraded life within this material world, from the life of Lord Brahma down to that of an ant, no one can actually be happy because of this inner darkness which continues. And Krishna, he doesn't like if his devotees remain in inner darkness. He doesn't like if his devotees are proud. Proud is one symptom of this inner darkness. And he always arranges to wake his devotees up from this. Once Lord Brahma, the creator of this universe, who also suffered from this inner darkness, Prabhupada calls it the master disease, huh? The master disease, the controller and enjoyer disease, huh? Once Lord Brahma came to see Lord Krishna in Dwaraka, and he thought, well, I'm Brahma, I should have should be easy for me to see Krishna. But the door guard, the guard at the door, told him he should wait, and then when it was his turn, the doorman said, "So, who are you?" Brahma said, "You don't see?" "No, Krishna has... who are you?" Well, I'm Brahma. Tell Krishna Brahma has come. I'm waiting for quite some time already. The doorman went to Krishna and told him. He knew what Krishna's plan is. He was a servant of Krishna for a long time. So Krishna said, go out and ask him which Brahma he is. So doorman goes to Brahma with his forehead, who's really full of himself, and asks, Krishna asks which Brahma you are. Which Brahma? Brahma! It's almost, I think, if you asked Arnold Schwarzenegger, which Arnold Schwarzenegger are you, you know, from which village in Austria do you come? Is it that Hintertupfingen, or is it that in Arnold Schwarzenegger? Which? There's only one Terminator. He would say. So Brahma responded in a similar way. He said, the Brahma. I'm the Brahma. So the doorman went in, and again Krishna told him, asked him, he must give his identification, otherwise he cannot see me. I'm very busy with important people. So the doorman said, please, which Brahma? So the Brahma understood, began to understand, I'm tested here. And he became a little bit more humble, and by Krishna's mercy he remembered, the father of the four Kumaras. So the doorman came back with this information. Krishna said, let him in. So as Brahma entered the audience hall of Krishna, he was surprised to see many, many other Brahmas from other universes bowing down before Krishna. Some had 8 heads, some 16, some 32. some had still many more heads, and others had millions of heads. And he could see how all these Brahmas bowed down to Lord Krishna and asked him, Krishna, have you called us for a certain reason here? Krishna said, I just wanted to see if everything is all right in your universe. Now watch what the Brahma said. The Brahma said, Krishna, everything is all right because you have appeared in my universe. Every Brahma, in other words, was for himself, speaking for himself. You have appeared in my universe. All these millions of Brahmas, Madhavisakhi, were not aware that there were other Brahmas. They only thought, I am together with Krishna, and Krishna tells me, and Krishna has come in my universe. Only that one Brahma, our Brahma, who needed to be taught a lesson by Krishna, was aware that all the other Brahmas were there. And he felt insignificant, like a mosquito amongst elephants. This is how it is described. So my dear devotees, even Lord Brahma suffers from this inner darkness from time to time. It's very, very, very strong, this darkness. And therefore Gajendra says, not even Kala, the influence of time, the eternal time, can destroy this. Who can destroy it? My dear devotees, I return to this original point. The Son of the Holy Name can destroy it. It is our firm conviction that in this age of Kali, the Yuga Dharma is chanting the Hare Krishna mantra in the association of devotees. But as Jiva Goswami says, this process of chanting in the association of devotees will only work when you do that in a mood of humility, of sincere understanding, I'm not actually the body. See, when we speak in the third, when we hear in the third verse of Shikshastaka about Trinadapi, the humility, Lord Chaitanya really refers to a quality which is inherent in the soul. In text 2, he refers to a quality of humility. You know, you regret your wrongdoings when he says that although you have appeared in your holy name and have invested this name with it, with all the powers, I have no attraction. Lord Chaitanya there expresses one type of humility, the humility which you feel when you do a mistake or when you feel yourself extremely, how do you say, remorseful and regretful for a mistake done. Everyone gets humble when he does a mistake and it's shown. But in the third verse, Mahaprabhu goes to a deeper level of humility, which is called dainya, humility which comes from the soul, which is inherent there. And Sankirtan, or chanting the holy name in association with devotees, gives you or grants you specific devotional feelings, but only if you chant it in a mood of humility. Jiva Goswami says the people in Kali Yuga, Bal Govinda, are naturally humble because they are so disqualified. he says, but I don't think this is the experience of modern men and modern women or modern Hare Krishna, modern you know, whatever. We are disqualified, but we still think we are quite qualified. You know, so it's difficult to bring it to chant in a mood of humility. I would like to give you, and end with this, an example of humility which I heard just recently, and I think you will all enjoy it very much. It's about the saint Eknath. Eknath is one of the, let me think very quickly, I think 16th century he is. He's one of the Maharashtrian saints who took part in that huge Kirtan movement which came, in which also Tukaram took part. I think you must have heard Kirtan is very, very big in Maharashtra, and Eknath is one of the saints there. So it happened that one morning, one man, on his way to playing cards, came to Eknath and saw Eknath sitting and chanting and reading in the scriptures. This man was a card player. He would in the morning a gambler. He would in the morning come and play with his friends' cards all day, and they would wager. They would put wagers. So this man came, saw Eknath, and felt so much attracted to this saintly person that he paid his obeisances and sat for quite some time with Eknath next to him. And therefore he came too late for his card playing. And all his friends said, "Where were you?" And he decided to say the truth. I was just sitting with the saint. Because why were you sitting with the saint? Well, he said, he was just so peaceful. And when I saw him being so much peaceful, I wanted to also become peaceful and sat next to him. So one of the men said, "He's not really peaceful. Tomorrow I will make him very angry and you will see who is your saint." So then they started to play cards, but that man who had spoken did not forget. In the morning, he sat on the roof of a house and watched until Ekanath was ready. Ekanath had taken his bath in the holy river, had chanted his prayers, had sang his morning kirtan there, and was very freshly dressed. He came and walked by that through the lane and walked by this house. Now this man had sat there, and all day he had chewed betel. Now if you chew betel, something will happen with your mouth, which has happened with my fingers. See? Betel has a natural red color, like the rose has a natural red color. And your saliva will turn very red by this betel. Speichel, will turn very red. You can see all over India. I told this story to Andre and his wife today. On the walls, stains of beetles, because people spit it. Or on the floor you see it. Or in uncultured people you see the shirts. They are full with these spit drops of red beetle, because you can't really wash it out of your shirt. So it really sticks. Almost like this is also a thread thing. It sticks to the cloth. So Ekanath came by, and as he came by, this bad man spits on him. And the whole soße, as we say in German language, came on his cloth and on his body, and he became, you know, he had this red stain all over him. Ekanath looked at it, looked up the roof, didn't say anything, and went back to the river to take his bath one more time. The man was shocked, but very determined. Ekanath took his bath, went out of the river, came by the same road, and the man again spit a whole, you know, the content of his mouth, or as we say in German language, volle Ladung, you know, on Ekanath's person. This Ekanath looked, went back to the river, took his bath, came out. Prabhus, dear listeners in the internet, this repeated itself for 31 times, until finally the man couldn't spit any longer. All the water was gone. As we say in German language, ihm ist die Spucke weggeblieben. You know, he just had nothing any longer. So Ekanath looked at him. The man looked down, and he asked, "I can't spit at you any longer. Why didn't you become angry? Tell me." Ekanath looked at the man and he said, "You must know one thing. If I become angry, I poison myself. It will take me a long time to get free from the effects of anger." This is just a little bit a sidebar to this. It is seen in medical science that if a person becomes angry, he produces these hormones and this adrenaline, which is very bad for the system. Medically, it's very bad. But psychologically, you also become poisoned, not just physically, when you become angry. So if I allow myself to become angry, I will poison myself, and in that poisoned state of consciousness, it will be very difficult. And then Ekanath smiled. The second reason why I didn't become angry is because I thought, in some ways you are my guru. You were so determined to make me angry. Why should I not be determined to remain peaceful and Krishna conscious? And then Ekanath said, and the third reason is, I'm actually a very low person. I have given up the Lord of my heart, and I've come into this world. I made a very big mistake. Why should I take things so personal? Why should I become so upset? So when this man saw Ekanath's reaction, he really understood this was a peaceful devotee. How was he able to be so tolerant, my dear devotees? How did he have this quality? Well, this is a person who knew how to surrender to Krishna and take shelter at Krishna. Only by sincere bhajan or worship of Krishna and sincere surrender can you become tolerant. Only then can you become tolerant. The strength of tolerance, which is a very big strength, comes if you have this faith in Krishna, that simply by surrendering unto him, all your things, all your life's problems will be solved. Srila Vyasadeva describes in a commentary to Patanjali Yoga Sutras that virya, or strength, is a result of shraddha, of faith. That faith that you can surrender to Krishna. Hare Krishna! Hare Bol! Before Tanakili, look at Lord Nityananda and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Do you see how their faces are covered with light? Can you see? They're really effulgent today. Thank you very much, Tanakili. It is said, Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda have arisen like the sun and the moon to destroy the inner darkness of the human beings. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes, the sun and the moon can show you external objects like pots and pans. When the sun and the moon rises, you will see that you will be able to see. They give a light which can destroy the outer darkness. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Lord Nityananda have destroyed the inner darkness in the of the heart. And the way they do it is they make the living entities chant the holy name, and by this chanting they will eventually meet to the two types of Bhagavatas, the book Bhagavata and the person Bhagavata. Now most of you are older devotees who listen to this, and I have not really said anything extremely new or extremely let me say something which might give you new insights, insights which you didn't have before. And you might ask yourself, why have we wasted our time and gone to this lecture? It's one of the many lectures where we hear what we already know. I personally think there is a special point in this lecture. This may be because I'm so arrogant. The special point, and you can study it in your own life if you can see it like that also, is that we are actually helpless in destroying our inner darkness. We can't do this on our own. We need Krishna's mercy, and Krishna's mercy comes to us through the holy name, which can arise on the horizon of our heart and destroy the inner darkness. And I very much want to encourage you to think about Gajendra's example. Gajendra, who said he is not interested in to live as long as this inner darkness continues. He wants that Krishna destroys this inner darkness. I believe very strongly that this inner darkness in our hearts can be destroyed if we become serious to serve the holy name and to do what is called Nam Ashraya, shelter in the holy name, through this sincere service. And I believe Krishna again and again shows us how incompetent we are, and he wakes us up again and again by letting us run into situations where we make such mistakes that we ask ourselves, how could I do this? And normally I don't make such a mistake, but I did it again. Why? I think Krishna wakes us up to show us how helpless we are and how dependent we are, and brings us to this place of genuine humility in this way, a humility where we can really turn to Krishna, and where we no longer are so much relying on our own capabilities and our own thoughts. Krishna always destroys this inner darkness of the devotees by destroying their pride. He needs to go like this. He needs to do it like this until finally, when this is done, we turn to Krishna in that helpless mood, in this humility. We will turn to him by chanting his holy name in this mood of genuine humility, where we really call out for Krishna's help. I want to end this class by repeating again to you this most wonderful quote of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada here says, I have not come to teach you, but only to request you to please chant the name of God. Please chant this Hare Krishna mantra. Be cleansed in your consciousness and understand your spiritual identity. So this is something which we will do on Saturday. We will chant for many long hours together in the Ratha Yatra parade, and we will also try our level best to bring people the holy name. Two very, very nice people. This is will give joy to our yoga expo team, and we have two members here. You will be happy. Kilia, this Aussteller, the ex, Kilian and Leah will come for the Harinam and for the Ratha Yatra in Berlin. I'm so tired. So in Munich. And we'll dance there. Dance and chant in ecstasy with us. Good. So I will close now my mouth and my books, and you will most probably say, good, good, good. I'm sorry today. We just have at the moment such an impossible schedule. Please be cleansed in your consciousness, understand your spiritual identity by chanting the holy name, which will destroy this inner darkness. This is more important than living. Krishna. All the best. I will now ask for a few questions. May I just, one moment, may I just ask, kannst du bitte sehen, ich müsste mal Risaki das mitgeben noch. Sehe ich sie noch mal oder bleibt sie noch hier? Gut. Ja. Do you have any questions? Yes, Gaurahari.
You spoke, I mean, the main point is to, in your lecture is to dissipate this darkness by the help of the Holy Name. So you mentioned briefly about Namashaya at the end and this feeling of helplessness while chanting.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Hoffentlich war es nicht zu langweilig. Noch Dinge machen. Ja, auf alle Fälle. Nein, bitte. Ja. Yes, Namashaya.
Yeah, can you give more, something more on this? Because I guess we are all into this chronic disease of Namaparat chanting, and if you can give some practical or some more help on how do we come to that point of Namashaya.
Very good question. You can actually take shelter in chanting the holy name always only from the position of genuine humility. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes it very clear that only someone who is genuinely humble can always chant the holy name. That means to take shelter. Only this person. There is a very interesting verse which says, not even after hundreds and hundreds of lives can someone always chant. Unless he becomes to this position of genuine humility. It's simply not possible. You may say yourself, tell yourself, oh, let me always chant, you know, let me sing always, let me chant extra rounds and so on. But only when you come to a feeling of genuine humility can you take shelter. Because as long as you're not humbled, you think, oh, I don't, you know, yeah, I do, but you're not. You don't have this desperate need that. You also don't feel how do you express it? You have no feeling really for Krishna. This genuine humility is such a wonderful gift. See, we are afraid sometimes of that. Oh my God, what will happen if I'm humble, then that means I must be smashed 1,000 times. I don't want to be smashed 1,000 times, you know. But it's actually good if you can come to the feeling of genuine humility, because then you can take shelter in the holy name. Genuine, not false. From the place of genuine humility, which I would like to remind you is a spiritual place, not a psychological. I'm feeling so low, like that happens when you identified with a false ego, then you will feel a minority complex after some time. You know, you will be shown that you are not so big by the material energy, but that's not a spiritual feeling, you just feel bad, you know. But if you feel genuinely humble, you feel it just comes out of your soul, you know, a feeling of no interest in false prestige, false roles, and so on. And at that time, you can take shelter. Now, Krishna doesn't like if his devotees are proud, and he generally arranges this. Especially when you start to dedicate yourself to chanting, to become a genuine servant of the holy name, and you begin to understand, I want to chant, but I can't chant. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I have tried so much to chant, but I just don't find the strength in my heart to chant genuinely. He expresses this. Or he expresses, I have chanted so many rounds, but not a drop of love is in my heart. Not a drop of love is in my heart. Not a drop. So much I have tried, but not a drop. So from that position you can start to chant. Prabhupada spoke about Ashraya with a beautiful example. He said, the powerful elephant, big elephant, strong elephant, is washed away when he enters the river. The little fish, small fish, insignificant fish, who has learned to take shelter, can swim very nicely. So in the river of life, become a small fish. Don't try to become a big elephant. Become a small fish. Smirtily. Become more humble than the grass. It's opposite to what we think. The big devotee will be washed away. Small devotee will be saved. With big, I mean the one who inflates his self-importance. With small, I mean the humble, who is genuinely humble, because he can take shelter. And he will feel the need of taking shelter. The other, no need. It works nice. My life is nice. My dear devotees, when you, maybe you forget everything of the lectures, please don't forget these four fingers. They remind us of the story of Ekanath. Ekanath was made red, like the fingers, from the stains of the beetle, which was spit at him. But he remained tolerant, and he did not allow himself, his consciousness, to become impure by proud emotions. He didn't allow that, because he knew this would make me very, this would rob my devotional treasures. The material world often makes us red. We are often humiliated. And we ask, why has this happened to me? The answer is, we are brought to our place from where we can start our spiritual life in seriousness. It's Krishna's loving care. Ja, Ferdinand, nicht? Francesco, ja. Ja, Francesco, ja bitte? Möchtest du in Deutsch fragen? Ich verstehe sehr gut Deutsch, ja, ich verstehe sehr gut.
Wenn ich merke, dass gerade Neid oder Aggression gerade in mir hochkommen, wie gerade in dem Punkt, dass man eben angeschaut wird, dann werde ich schon beim ersten Mal sauer. Ja. Diese Größe, wenn ich quasi erkannt habe, dass diese Emotion in mir hochkommt, gerade da eben den Sprung zu schaffen, eben diese Emotionen ja nicht aufkommen zu lassen. Wie schaffe ich genau das?
Super, super Frage, Francesco. Francesco. Darf ich in, ich werde in Englisch über, beantworten, weil du eine sehr gute Übersetzung hast. Lass uns den Madhupati, der ist noch immer über, oder musst du weg?
Ich wollte noch was sagen. Lord Chalanda
kommt. Super! Ja. Francesco, I will give a 5-minute answer. Yes? I will, see, you have asked, I'm already getting angry and upset and have feelings like enviousness when the first attack comes. how can I learn this tolerance at all? Francesco, what you have to first learn is to honestly observe what is going on in you. There is something is happening, and then is it triggers something. Es löst etwas aus, and you have to be conscious and aware of the things which happen and what they do to you at that specific time. And you have to learn first. This is the first step to just observe what is going on. You make a step back and observe it almost as if you observe a movie. Okay, someone just did this to me, and now I feel this emotion rising. And you just observe it as a movie, and then you detach yourself from that, and you think what is the best way to act. I would like to give you an answer today. Today we had a very small accident. And I really do not like accidents, like no one of us likes accidents. It's always expensive. And I was thinking in my heart, oh, again, an accident has happened. Like normal human reaction. But in the past I would get angry. Gaurahari knows this, and I would, but I could see the poor driver is already suffering 20 times more than me. And what is the point of? Let me just watch it. So I just stepped back and watched, and I could see my feelings going, why is everyone so careless, and this normal reaction. But then I thought, is this the best reaction? Is it good for me? Is it good for the other person? Does it help anyone? And I understood it helps no one. It doesn't help me. I get all nervous and anxious. And the poor driver, who gives his best and who just made a mistake, which is human after all, is already suffering and wants to kill himself or herself, so it doesn't help anyone. And this I could only do because of two things, Francesco. First is God is taking shelter and Krishna, bringing your consciousness on a spiritual level, in other words, and then observing from there the reactions and reactions of the material world. Your problem is, Francesco, the problem which all of us have is that we are so identified with the body and the mind. So when our bodies and minds come into a certain situation which uns sauer macht, which makes us angry, then, because we identify with the body and the mind, we actually become angry. We accept that emotion, that material emotion, and becomes our emotion. But if you just step back and you say, okay, my body and my mind, are now angry and not good. You know, and you observe it like you observe a movie. You are not affected. It takes practice. Here is your practice, Francesco. Go through your life, and you come in a situation, and then let us say you become sour, as you say. Then after it has happened, go back to the situation and just go through what happened. Step one, he said this. Step two, I heard what he said. And step three, I reacted, you know. So this is the first thing. Then ask yourself, after the situation, what would be a better way to deal with it in the future? So then you have an idea, have some idea, okay, I will do like this. Then you come again in the same situation, and again you lose it. Let us say like this, you're not yet so advanced, again everything goes helter-skelter, you become angry and sour. And then again, after some time, go back, look what happened, look how you received what happened, and how you reacted. Do this many times, and again think, next time I'm going to do it better. And maybe after 10 times of trying, you will be able to do it better. Maybe you are from Italy, your temperament is a little bit more than these cold Germans, you know. So maybe you need 20 times, but after some time you get it, really. The point is, you must become aware of what's happening, and you must detach yourself and be able to observe it, and from that observer role, make it the way you think it is better, more enlightened. Practice. It's like practicing a muscle. When you do push-ups, Liegestütz, after one, when you start, after you have done one, you will be dead on the floor. But next morning you can maybe try two or or three, and one day, I'm practiced. I could only do 1.5. Now I can do 15 already. I can't believe it. I could show you if you want. It's I have practiced. So these things, like how to react, you need to practice. Thank you very much. Now I don't know. Lord Jagannath is coming. And we have to... Is he coming, Bhanupati? Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Bhagavan, Jaya Subhadra, Jaya Jagannath.